So by a show of hands, how many of you have invited a friend or a relative or maybe a coworker to church? They say, well, I worship God in the outdoors. How many have heard that before? Yeah, we all have. Tonight, the topic on that's going to be taught is why come to church and why fellowship is important. And one of our elders, Thomas Keith, is going to be teaching tonight. So before he comes up here, does everybody have a book? The Start to Follow book. All right, Thomas?
No. Only for the Lord. Only for the Lord. All right. Well, everybody, glad you're here. Glad I'm here. I was really thinking this afternoon of a really good analogy. And in the spirit of Paul, I came up with the sports analogy. Of course he didn't know anything about football. He didn't know anything about baseball. But, you know, it doesn't play on one individual, right? I got to see the two greatest quarterbacks, I think, in the game this year, or last year. And, you know, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, two of the greatest quarterbacks in the NFL at the moment, but the team doesn't just go by them, you know, it goes by the team. Jeff was a pitcher in baseball, and I'm sure he can tell you, pitchers don't solely win the game, it's a huge team effort, and that's how God's created us. He's created us to be members in fellowship, to come to church. We are the church. I mean, we'll see that here in a little bit as well. We ourselves as the body, in Ephesians, it teaches us that we are the church. We're members of one another. You know, this building, tomorrow morning, before Jeff and anybody else comes here, it's just going to be empty. Jesus told us his spirit, that the Spirit of God dwells within us. You know, that's truly the church. But, you know, we come together as members of one another. We, you know, personal Bible study at home, it's really good. It's an important thing for us to do. It's important for our spiritual growth, is one of the things it teaches us. But we also see, you know, we need to make it a regular practice to come to fellowship, to come here. As Don said, you know, we've got those friends that are, you know, I go out there and I worship God in nature. And that's fine. You know, I mean, if you don't make it to church on a given Sunday once in a while, that's all right. You know, God's not going to be angry with you. He's not going to, you know, but we want to be here. We want to fellowship with one another, right? Jesus established the church. We see that in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. It talks about that, the church isn't, it's just not just a building, but it's an assembly of people who believe. As Peter said in Matthew 16, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's a group of members that believe that Jesus is the risen Savior. The one song that Aaron sang, you know, all those things, I believe in God the Father, I believe in Christ the Son. You know, Paul went on to say in one of his, is it 1 Corinthians 15, that, you know, if that those things aren't true, that we believe we're the most pitied, right? 1 Corinthians 15, I believe it was, right? So, but anyway, moving on, you know, we want to see why do we go to church? Why being involved in a local church is a vital part of our growth for our Christian faith. We do need a place to be encouraged, instructed, and where we can give out also what God has given us. You know, we want to serve one another. It's really important. So we're going to see and we're going to discover tonight how church is going to help us, help you individually, how you have a place in the church, and that the character and what are the characteristics of a thriving church or a growing church. So let's just take a minute and pray real quick. Father, Lord, we just want to thank you that we could gather here together tonight as your church, as your body, Lord, and we know that it is an important thing that we gather together one with another, to encourage one another, to build one another up. Lord, it's something that you established. It's something that you commanded of us. So, Father, help us to see the importance of these things and help us to learn tonight through your word what you would have us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. So we do need fellowship with other believers, and this is something that we will never outgrow. You know, we need to be together. We need that fellowship time. Being a part of a healthy church, it's going to help us to grow. It's going to help us prosper or thrive, is what it says here. As a new believer or as an old believer, you know, it doesn't matter. New, old, you know, being a part of the local church is very important for quite a few reasons. And we want to discover how the church will help us. You know, it'll help us grow through teaching. Okay, we got a pastor, associate pastors, you know, people that teach us and lead us in God's word each and every day. You know, as a believer, we need to make sure that we have questions about what the Bible means. You know, we're just, you know, some people are just beginning, some people are deeper into their walk of discovering the basics of Christian faith or the nuggets of gold that are in the word, right? You know, how many people have you heard say over the years, you know, through fellowship or through study of the Bible, they've continued to grow. But that's what the church is here to do. It's to help establish us as believers, to equip us to be able to share our faith and go forward, right? You know, we want to look at a few things here in the Bible. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, it says to us that preach the word, to be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. You know, that's something that we're going to hear each and every day as we're in fellowship with one another at church. It also says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, it says, and he himself, this is the Holy Spirit, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, or to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We want to come together. You know, we need to be equipped each and every day. You know, not only through our own personal Bible study, like it said, but through the teaching here. You know, but we get that teaching, and Paul encouraged the Berean church back in the day to go home and seek out the scriptures. We do want to seek those things out that are being taught to us as well. That's how we grow. You know, the pastor teaches us, and we investigate it. We do investigate it. You know, he's equipping us with these things, and he's given us that basis, that foundation in order to grow as part of the fellowship. So a healthy learning church is where the Spirit of God leads and the people of God are submitted to the word of God. I think that's important. I'm going to repeat that. A healthy learning church is where the Spirit of God leads and the people of God submit to the word of God. You know, the church will help you grow through fellowship with other believers, and it is important that we know that. And as a member of God's family, we do have a place to go for loving encouragement. You know, I definitely feel we have that here. I've felt that from the very beginning since I started coming here 15 years ago. You know, in a church, we're going to meet other people who we can share the love of Christ with. We share the love of God. Some believers, you know, they've been faithfully walking for years, and you can learn from their examples. You know, we do teach and learn one another. We come into this building, we don't want to come in with a plastic face. You know, hey, yeah, everything's great. Everything's wonderful. We have struggles. This is the place. These are the people that are there for you, that God has put in your life to minister to you, to help you, to exhort you, to encourage you. If you've got whatever, you know, if you're in sin, or if you just have a struggle, they're there for you. They should be. You know, you should be coming in here with, I don't want to say your heart on your sleeve, but if you've got a burden, we're here to bear one another's burdens. This is the perfect place for it, and I think it's important that we recognize this. So, anyway, moving along, why is fellowship with other believers important? Look at Ephesians chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. It says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." You know, the days are getting worse and worse, and we want to continue to grow in the church. We want to continue to gather together and fellowship one another, right? It's really, really important. I can't express how important it really is. I mean, I love being here. One of the greatest things I used to do was stand at the door and greet. I used to get to give everybody a great big smile, you know, and no greater joy I had in serving here was when we used to do that, you know. I think we still do that. Aaron's one of the greeters, and she always got a great big smile and a hug for everybody too, and that to me was a joy, you know, to greet people and encourage people in that way, you know, just by being there. And that's another important part. Sometimes it's just being there. Being there, being that great big smile, you know. They're having a crummy morning. The kids are fighting in the back of the car, you know. We've all had that experience, you know. But also, here's another important reason. In Romans 1, verses 11 and 12, it says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." You know, Paul longed to see these people. He see it throughout his epistles that he longed to see others. And he longed to be a part of fellowship with them. So it's really an important part of our growth there too, is to be able to long to see others. There's some people we don't get to see all week, or there's some people that come to visit and, you know, you don't see them for a while, and, you know, a year later they come to visit and it's like, hey, you know, it's neat. I love that. I love people. I drive my wife nuts. I do. She's kind of a hermit, but I'm a, you know, I'm not. I'm her little social butterfly, and I'd love to be here for people, you know. I've met so many wonderful people here, you know. I could tell some stories of some individual people and how they encouraged me right from the time I became a Christian. Rex Sellers, right there. I'm going to call him out. He came running up to me right after the service, and he was such an encouragement to me, you know. It was wonderful. It was wonderful, and honestly, that's really what it's about, getting together with one another, being excited to see one another, being excited to see and come into the presence of the Lord, you know. Just to be in his presence is amazing. So, as we just read in Hebrews 10:24, the believers are encouraged to stir up love and good works in one another, and the church is the place to come and listen and learn, but it is also a place to serve. You know, there's needs in the body. We saw that in Ephesians, you know, that we are there to equip the saints. You know, we're there for one another. Serving one another is a way of serving the Lord. Whatever we do for each other, and as much as you've done to the least of these, you've done unto me, Jesus said. So we are to serve one another. We're serving the Lord. And you will at some point find your place in the church. And a lot of times you may wonder what the church, why the church would need you, or why does God need you? And ultimately he doesn't, but he does choose to use us, okay? And there are some scriptures here that we'll look at in Ephesians chapter 2 that talks about some of our placement, or the necessity for it, I should say. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So that word there in the Greek is actually poema, whereas poem. It's kind of cool. You know, and it's cool that he prepared these things beforehand, kind of like it says in the beginning of Ephesians, Gesundheit, that and says in the beginning of Ephesians that he knew us before the foundations of the universe. So just same thing there, you know, kind of cool. And Romans 12, it talks about, sorry, I don't have these memorized this week. Romans 12, 4 and 5 says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." Many members in one body, but all the members do not have one function. You know, we all come together, kind of like I was saying at the beginning with the team. You know, it's not one guy. It's not one one team member that's going to get it done. It's that corporate body that pulls it all together and makes it work. You know, even these little, I was thinking about that too, a tennis player, it looks like it's just one person, but there's coaches, there's all kinds of stuff going on in the background that we don't know. Just like here at the body, you know, there's stuff up there, there's people in the sound booth, there's people doing the words, there's people in the back room, you know. We're all working together for the glory of the Lord, ultimately. You know, the church does need you. It does need your involvement. Your gifts, your encouragement, your faith, all those things work together. So, you know, ultimately we do want to find out where the Lord wants us. You know, keep praying about it. If you're not sure, keep praying about it. If you got a talent and you see a need, you know, God can use it. And he will use it, you know. He's used so many people in this room, and he'll use you if you're not sure. Just keep praying, keep seeking him. So another thing to look for, though, and we want to look for in a church is characteristics of a thriving church. You know, there are a ton of churches in this valley. There's quite a few. I mean, just this building, there's the next building over, there's one. You go down North Avenue, there's 3-4 more, maybe more than that probably. You go up Horizon, they're all over the place. You know, how do you find the right one? First thing, you should pray. I mean, we should pray about everything. In 1 Thessalonians 5, it said, pray without ceasing. We pray about all things. You know, pray, ask God to direct you. Ask him to point you in the right direction. I mean, I came here, and it was kind of funny, because Jeff said, well, you guys live in Rifle, you know, I could help you find a church up there, but I don't know. It was just amazing. It felt, I mean, the Lord just gave me this peace. And I know it was the right place, because there was a church I checked out in Rifle. And if I'd have gone there, probably would have never gotten my wife to church. So, you know, the Lord definitely leads, you know, pray about it. And he'll lead you to the right place, you know. But what does it look like in a thriving church? What's one of the things that's a characteristic of the early church? What does it say? What did they do? What was one of the things that they were known for? Anybody? Together. They were together, but they turned the world upside down. They were doing all kinds of radical stuff, you know. They were evangelizing, they were bold. I mean, all the apostles, look how they changed after the Holy Spirit came upon them. They were thriving. They were growing. It talks about in Acts 2:42, which is the motto of our home groups, that they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They were seeking the Lord, but they were also... they were evangelizing. They were turning their neighborhoods inside out. They were turning the world literally upside down. You know, the apostles taught on the life and ministry of Jesus. They weren't spreading their own ideas. They were following the Lord's command, what Jesus had told them to do in Matthew 28. Jesus said, to go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You know, we got the same message today. Go out and make disciples of all nations, of all men. Our neighborhood, you know, those are some of the things that the apostles, some of the early church members were doing. They were pretty radical. They were a loving church. The early believers devoted themselves to teaching and fellowship. In simple terms, this means that they looked out for one another like a family. They took care of one another. A thriving church overflows with love for God, for each other, and for the lost. Ultimately, you know, for the lost. And what did Jesus tell his disciples about love? He said, love one another. In John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, he said, love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. I mean, if you don't have love in the church, people outside the church aren't going to give a hoot about hearing what you got to say if we don't love one another. It's really, really important. It's critical. Another good sign is a worshiping church. Worship here, this is just practice. Like Aaron said, we're going to sing that holy, holy, holy Lord. I mean, that's the ultimate choir there. That's one of my things I look most forward to. You know, this is just kind of practice here. But the early church was full of worship and prayer. They made regular practice of expressing their praise and faith in God. That's going to be covered a little bit more in the next session. Worship will. But Jesus did teach about worship in John chapter 4. Jesus said that God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And he shared that with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, you know, when they were kind of talking about that, and you know, but it's true. I mean, we do just have to worship him, and we just need to allow that to flow through us. But it's also moving on. A thriving church is a growing church. You know, the large numbers themselves aren't necessarily a sign of a growing church, but it's also a spiritually thriving church. There's a good teaching, there's love, there's worship, and that's going to promote growth. A growing church, it's going to reach out, it's going to share the gospel, it's going to send people out as well, you know, sending out missionaries, having outreaches within your community. What effect did the early church have on its community? It says in Acts 2:41, there, chapter 2, verse 41 and verse 47 is the answer there. It says, so then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day they were added about 3,000 souls. Verse 47 says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding day by day to those who were saved. They were loving one another. They were reaching out to one another, and in the face of persecution, and the church was just exploding. You know, I mean, that in verse 41, that day they added about 3,000 souls. That's pretty intense, you know, to be able to say that. So, just real quickly summarizing here, there was a time, some of us probably remember, going to church every Sunday. I mean, it was what you did. Family got up, you got in your Sunday best, you went to church. Sometimes it was just Christmas or Easter. Sometimes if you went to visit grandma, you know. But it's changing. It's really changing. People see what we're doing here as a something that's in the past. You know, how many times have we heard, you know, oh, you know, the Bible doesn't relate to today, or the things that you guys are talking about, or it doesn't apply. But it does. It really does. It's not in a bygone era. You know, he says, you know, you may have childhood memories of church, you may have never set foot inside in your past, but, you know, we're here now, and it is important. I want to stress how important it is. Those scriptures that we talked about here a few minutes ago, I mean, I think it clearly outlined how important it is. And it's never been more important that we express this to our youth, to our children, so that they'll continue. They'll continue in the apostles' teaching and doctrine, making disciples of all men. Because without this fellowship, without this corporate time together, you know, they're not going to be equipped. They're not going to be ready. And they're going to continue to fall away. I don't know the statistics, but it's staggering how many children fall away. So I've seen some pretty neat things with some of the youth here over the years. So it's encouraging. To me, that's a good sign of a thriving church right there too. Kaya, going to Bible college, praising the Lord. Matt, serving the Lord, you know. There's some good kids in this body here. So I just want to encourage any of you, if you've got kids that are wayward, pray for them. Keep praying for them. Get them to come back. It's important. So let's pray. Father, Lord, we just thank you again for this time we have together to talk about fellowship, to talk about gathering together. And Lord, that you would just bless our hearts, that you would help us to meditate upon these things. And Lord, as we break into small groups, Lord, that you would just bless the leaders, bless everyone in those groups, that you would just give us good questions, and Lord, that you'd help us to see the leading of your Spirit, the importance of these things. And we just thank you, and we praise you, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Because Kelly is not here tonight, everybody that was in her group over in the front right corner over here, your right, my left, go ahead and come over to my group that's over here on the my right, your left. And is anybody here that wasn't here last week? Okay. Why don't y'all go ahead and meet with Leslie, and she's back in the back corner over here. And we'll just go ahead and meet in our groups now. Thanks.